Cadman Reel 3. You were just telling me about your living conditions in Korea. Can you tell me more about them?
Right. We lived in tents. We were under canvas virtually the whole time we were there. We always, there was a sort of method of, if the tents were sort of permanent, or they're meant to be in sort of stay there for some time. So we used to dig a monsoon ditch around and sort of around the inside of the tent, we had sort of ammunition boxes, gave a bit more support and stopped any drafts coming through. And we used to make our own heaters out of cartridge cases and make a pipe going through the ceiling, the roof of the tent. Which of course, we used to line the area of the pipe with metal cut-up tins, make it so the tent wouldn't burn. And we used to have a sort of a drip feed using diesel from outside the tent, just gravity feed virtually, with a little tap. And we used to make our own fire, which was quite warm, but the cartridge case used to get red hot. Occasionally things went wrong, but not often. You got quite good at this sort of thing, you know. And we had sleeping bags, very good, but because they got quite filthy in the end, because they weren't. The whole time you were there, you had the same sleeping bag for 18 months. So in the end, it wasn't white anymore. It was just mud coloured. But they were warm. Right. Summers were beautiful. Warm. You had a rainy season, which started in July, as far as I remember. Went on for maybe 6 weeks. And it did rain, but it was a warm rain. We used to keep the roads open by throwing rocks into the mud so that it give some sort of traction for any vehicles. But we were always worried in the rainy season because the engine used to come up very high, the engine river. And we were in a sort of salient over the river, and there were three bridges that were, I think they were called after ducks, pintail, teal. I'm not sure if it was William, but anyway, pintail and teal. We were always worried that the Chinese would float trees or something down, which would damage the bridges, not the motor. One was a pontoon bridge, and the other one was a sort of built by the engineers and more of a permanent bridge. But we were always worried that the Chinese would attack in the rainy season, but I suppose they were having as much difficulty as we were, sort of with transport. Anyway, as I say, the summers were warm. The spring came very quickly. All of a sudden, you had warm weather. It seemed to come from nowhere, and you had lovely, sort of balmy spring days. You had this summer, which was more like an English summer, maybe a little bit warmer. The rainy season started about July, and then the end of the summer again. The sun used to sort of break through, and then you had sort of about November, and the winter started again. And the winter was quite a hard winter. If you touch metal things, you could sort of stick to them, you know, you had to be careful. The drivers had a particularly bad time because they had to start their vehicles up at regular intervals. And so, although they were always looking for drivers, nobody volunteered to be a driver. And that's about it as far as the living conditions. There wasn't, as far as I know, much or any sort of disease, contagious diseases in our area. Although we were issued with this sort of foul-smelling oil, which was supposed to keep the, is it mice or rat ticks or anything? I think there was some sort of hemorrhagic fever in Korea at the time. But it didn't affect the Commonwealth troops as far as I know. But this oil, which you were supposed to spread all over your clothing, left a sort of stain. It looked very, untidy because you were sort of covered in sort of patches of sort of oily stain. You know, it didn't look very sort of military, but it did the job apparently. So you know, and then we were issued with paludrin tablets, anti-malaria tablets. But other than that, we were sort of pretty healthy.
Did you have vermin in the tents?
Me?
Do you have vermin in the tents?
No, sorry. No. No. We did, any local villages, we burnt down. We were ordered to do that. So we went round, they were all empty, of course. So, you know, it was just one of those things. Any vermin would be more likely to be around these villages. So we were told to go and sort of burn anything that was flammable.
As a health measure?
Oh, yes, yeah. Oh, we did this once, as far as I remember. So, no, we didn't have vermin at all in the area, so we were lucky. I had one session in what they call MASH, which is a medical and surgical hospital, which was run by the Norwegians. And that was for what was called trench foot. And that was caused by having the wrong sort of boots, as far as I remember. But I think I had a couple of days in there, sort of jabbed with penicillin, and I was okay after that.
What were the symptoms of trench foot?
Well, it's sort of inflammation and swelling. Pain, of course, quite painful. You know, you couldn't sort of put your shoe on and your boot on and off without pain. So you were more or less ineffective, you know.
Why did you have the wrong boots?
Well, the reason, because I take size 12, they didn't have any of my size at the time. They were sort of a special boot with rubber soles, which stood quite thick. I would think about half inch thick soles, which kept a lot of the damp out and properly sealed ones. Whereas I only had ordinary ammunition boots, which were the sort of standard British Army issue. After that, they quickly got me a pair of these special boots, which were issued to all troops in Korea. So I was just all unlucky.
Did you have much to do with Korean civilians?
Yeah, occasionally when we were doing any surveys sort of well behind the line, we used to sort of stop for a break. And we had these, we used to break open our rations, we had sort of dry rations. And we sort of brew up any civilians in the locality. You know, I'm not talking about right up near the front line, but further back. Quite often, a sort of local woman would sort of wander up and just stand there looking. So we more often than not gave her something. You know, we had sort of sugar or little tins of whatever meat. Cocoa or chocolate, dried chocolate, this sort of thing. We were on, what do they call them? K rations or C rations. I think it was a K ration and a C ration. One was American and one was English, as far as I remember. But we quite often used to give the local, you know, any little bits and pieces. I do remember the rations in particular because at one time we were on American rations. And we used to get this tinned turkey, which was quite a delicacy at the time. It was awful to start with, but in the end we got some of it. We preferred the British rations, which were often big tins of greasy bacon, sort of rolled, it sort of came out of the tins in rolls. So although we were on American rations for a time, we preferred the English rations. But we didn't get a lot, as far as I remember, we didn't get a lot of fresh food. I can't remember getting fresh food at all. It was really all sort of tinned, dried stuff, you know, and tinned.
Was anything else given to the Korean civilians apart from food?
Well, we did. Most of the units employed Koreans sort of to do any sort of dirty work, you know, digging latrines and helping generally. So we had sort of several Korean men, not women, I would say about half a dozen. They sort of had their own little, what do you call it, hoochie, like you know, a tent or something they sort of knocked up with that sort of ammunition tins. They used to make their own accommodation. But, they used some civilians. Sort of doing any sort of, mostly doing it sort of dirty work, you know.
How did you get on with the Koreans generally?
Pretty well. We had no trouble. We had no trouble at all. In fact, they soon learned English much quicker than we learned Korean. Some of them were very, very good.
You were telling me that they weren't allowed in the fighting zone.
Yes. Perhaps I should clarify that. They weren't allowed to, you wouldn't have sort of the local population wandering around in the fighting zone. We had Koreans attached to a unit. That's all. But we did, a Korean wandering around would be sort of a very suspicious person, you know. They would probably be, if not shot, they'd be arrested and questioned. So they didn't allow it at all.
You were telling me earlier off the record about two Korean women who were accidentally killed.
Yeah.
Can you repeat what you were telling me, please?
Yes. Well, this is from what I heard at the time, that two Korean women wanted to go back to where they had lived to collect, maybe look or collect something, or perhaps possibly they thought they could go back there and live there again. Anyway, I heard that they were shot and killed by at night. This was not during the daytime. So, it's just sort of unfortunate when these things that happens.
Any other incidents that happened to you in Korea that we can record?
Well, not to do with the fighting. I remember swimming the Imjin a couple of times. And it was quite a strong current. I remember being carried along onto one of these pontoon bridges and having to climb up on the bridge and walk across. Of course, there's a guard on each end. I had nothing on, which looked a bit peculiar, because we used to swim naked, you know, we didn't have swimming costumes. Another time, three of us went down to the Imjin for a swim. We were going somewhere, we stopped for a swim. And we got more or less across, and one chick man got into difficulties, and we had a hell of a struggle to get him back to the other side, because at this point on the MGM there was like a sandy area one side, and the water sort of sloped gently down. But when you got to the other side, it was like not exactly a cliff, but a very steep bank, and the water was a lot deeper and a lot colder, and it was quite a strong current there. And I think this other chap panicked, and we just about got him back. I remember saying to him when we, you know, trying to encourage him, don't struggle, just we supported him. Don't panic, you know, just you're all right. When we got nearly to the other side, I could see the bottom of the river. I said, oh, it's all right, can see the bottom now. And I said, you know, we let go, just try swimming a bit. And I remember he says, he thought it, well, you could see the bottom, but it was a bit deeper than he thought, so we had to sort of take him on a bit further. But in the end, everything turned out all right. We got him back, but it was a bit scary. So the Injum is a dangerous river, even in the summer, quite a strong current. And I would think it's something like, I don't know about as wide as the Thames, that sort of place somewhere around sort of Teddington, you know, getting up that end of the get that part of the Thames. But in the rainy season, it's just a raging torrent. You know, it's brown, where it's sort of swept away earth from the hills, and you get all the debris coming down, tree trunks, everything comes down, wood. Really a very dangerous river then. You wouldn't venture into it in the rainy season.
Did the stalemate outcome to the war take you by surprise, or is that what you expected all the time?
No, it more or less reached a stalemate. So, you know, they were talking, they had these peace talks there. Was it Kaesong?
Panmunjom.
Panmunjom. And was there another? Did they start at Kaesong? Panmunjom. Finished at Panmunjom, didn't it? And so that was going on. And, you know, first, to start with, it was sort of used as sort of propaganda exercise, wasn't it? Well, especially by the Chinese. Koreans, and just sort of sit there staring at each other and trying to make one have a loose face, you know, and this sort of thing. So there was a lot of that. It was sort of a lot of dithering for months after month after month, and then I think they eventually realised, you know, they were getting nowhere. So I think there was sort of an armistice exchange of prisoners, wasn't there? We had an awful lot of their prisoners. We used to keep them down on this island. What was it? Koji?
I've forgotten. There was an island in the south.
It was Koji. And I do remember that there was a lot of trouble because they broke out, didn't they?
There were riots there.
They rioted, and when the Americans sort of went into the compounds, several were killed, and quite a lot of the Koreans and Chinese were killed during the rioting. And I think this was this rioting was instigated by people who were in contact with the prisoners from outside. And I had heard, I read later, that several high-ranking officers allowed themselves to be taken prisoner, so that they were moved into this compound. So they could organise this trouble.
Did you think it was all worthwhile? What was your attitude towards serving there?
I think it was. I think it was definitely worthwhile because it stopped. I mean, the big danger at the time was communist aggression, wasn't it? And if they one in Korea, then I think Japan would have been in danger. It would have been like a sort of pack of cards, you know, one thing would have led to another. The Middle East would have been in danger. I think it might have encouraged the sort of Eastern Bloc countries and Russia to attack in Europe. So I think it did stop communism in its tracks.
Was your experience in Korea a miserable one, or enjoyable, or what?
I think mostly it was soldiering. We had good times. I can't remember being particularly miserable ever. I suppose I'm sort of a born optimist in that respect. You know, I don't tend to be miserable as my wife can tell you. I don't look on the sort of gloomy side of things. So, yeah, we used to count the days, you know, the months, you know, only sort of 6 more months and we'll be back home, you know, this sort of thing. But the mail always arrived on time. I spent the 21st birthday in Korea and got a parcel from home, you know. We had a nappy, we had beer, we could always get beer. I think the Americans were dry because of the women's organisations in, you know, the Mothers of America or one of these organisations in America. So we could always get this beer, Japanese acai beer, which was quite good. It was a bit like lager, but bottled beer. It was quite good. So, well, I think sort of being young and optimistic, and you thought you were sort of immortal at the time, you know.
Were there any particular songs you sang in Korea?
There was a song popular at the time called Knights of China, I think.
A pop song.
Sorry?
A pop song.
It was a pop song at the time. It was a bit slow by present day standards. There are a few chants the lads used to have about the American 5th Cavalry Regiment. Which they did a bug out, as they called it.
What were the words of the chant?
It was something like, who's that coming down the street? The 5th Cavalry in full retreat, keep moving on, moving on.
So which tune was this?
Who's that coming down the street? The 5th Cavalry in full retreat, keep moving on, keep moving on, so on and so on and so on. That was one. Oh, I'll tell you another thing. When we landed in Pusan, we had an American band, all Negro band, waiting on the quayside, and they were playing If I Knew You Were Coming, I'd have baked a cake.